We are continuing today to work session House Bill 5023, but as a subcommittee, we'll go ahead and receive testimony relative to the governor's office, particularly with regard to the Community Solutions Team. I think we've hammered some of the issues out, and after having met with the co-chairs, I believe that we're ready to go ahead and finalize some of the other issues relative to the budget. Legislative Fiscal Office is represented by Dallas Wyand. Our clerk for the day is Karen Segrist. And let's go ahead and have Dallas give us an update and this subcommittee and the subcommittee as to where we're at before we receive some public testimony. Sure.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, yesterday we met with the co-chairs, and we have their approval to proceed with the recommendations of the subcommittee. They're summarized in my memo to you dated the 25th. In effect, the approval of the governor's budget with a $7,893,954 general fund, $1,398,068 of lottery funds. These are just lottery funds. It doesn't specify where they will be coming from. The co-chairs and the subcommittee agreed will fund the Community Solutions Office with lottery and other funds. The other funds limitation then would be $1,257,45. This budget recognizes the $200,000 unspecified reduction in the governor's office. It restores the proposed reduction of $300,000 to the arrest and return program, so it actually provides $904,317 of general fund to the arrest and return program. And it acknowledges that the Community Solutions Office will be funded out of lottery funds and other funds that come from other agencies. So with that, Mr. Chair, you have the summary of the subcommittee's recommendations, which we've gotten approval on to move forward with. We have, I should point out that amendment is being drafted to Senate Bill 467. There was discussion in the Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee yesterday about that bill, and I understand it will be assigned to Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee and work there. And that's the one that sets up the Community Solutions Office, and the amendment here is to provide lottery funds to them through an amendment to existing statute. The co-chairs, again, from our discussion yesterday, have just committed to providing lottery funds for the Community Solutions Office without respect to the funding source. They understood that the funding source, or where it would come out of lottery, is subject to a separate discussion in another subcommittee.
So. Thank you, Dallas. Representative Patridge?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Dallas, and Mr. Chair, I appreciate the hard work you've done on this. I know we've had many machinations of this particular budget. I will be supporting the budget to provide votes at a subcommittee today. However, I'll probably speak against and vote against the budget on the floor of the House in regard to the Community Solutions Team. I think this is a good faith effort in regard to what the original intent of the Community Solutions Teams were, and consequently, I think more should have been taken out of agency budgets in order to fund the Community Solutions Team, since they are the root of the problem. I feel like this is rewarding them for having a dysfunctional bureaucracy, though I'm appreciative of the rest of the governor's budget. So I think we should have taken these funds out of agencies, or taken the staffing and FTEs out of the agencies in order to fund the majority of the Community Solutions Team.
Thank you, Representative Patridge, and thank you particularly for your concern and angst that the agencies need a change in culture within the agencies, not just to contribute toward community solutions, but also towards an idea of moving the state, as the governor has directed, away from the status quo. But it appears that you could change everything in government except the status quo. Thank you very much. And we do have Association of Oregon Counties, some representatives, and Judge Mike MacArthur and Commissioner Tony Hyde. Would you folks like to join with the Association of Oregon County if Gordon has anything? Otherwise, we'll let you go ahead and speak on behalf of the association. I would love to have had Representative Johnson here. And perhaps if she's listening in, knowing that one of her county commissioners is here, she'll join us. With that, please go ahead and identify yourselves for the record.
Chair Butler, members of the committee, Mike MacArthur, Sherman County Judge, Chair of the Laura John Day Regional Partnership and AOC's Community Development Steering Committee Chair. On behalf of the Community Solutions Office, I've been around since the 1997 Interim Committee that had the paper on the report on New Directions, which really institutionalized Community Solutions as a way of doing business, and I've been a big supporter of that way of doing business. I've seen a lot of success take place as a result of state agencies trying to solve problems and not just run the programs that the state agencies have done. The funding mechanism for that office has always been an excellent problem. And I appreciate that lotteries are the flexible sources that those funds can come from. But much like Representative Patridge said a few minutes ago, it's a concern of ours where that funding comes from. And we are particularly concerned that some sources of current county revenue have been identified as the source of funding for the Community Solutions Office. And at one point during the special sessions, we offered, Commissioner Hyde's idea was to offer some support for the Community Solutions Office from the Regional Rural Strategies programs. We felt there was a nexus there, a connection between what was going on with the regional partnerships and the regional investment boards and the Community Solutions team. We felt that it was important enough to those regional programs to keep all the pieces of our economic development system in place. I mean, we have state pieces, state agencies, we have regional pieces, we have local pieces, and it's important that all those pieces have capacity. And so it was important to us to see that state capacity continued to be there, because that's how we were accomplishing projects. And we were ready to step up. But now there's this discussion about taking some of the video lottery funds that come as a result of the 2.5% deal that was cut many years ago. We are adamantly opposed to going to that source of funding for Community Solutions. As much as we support Community Solutions, we would be opposed to funding them from that source. We would like to work with the legislature, the governor's office, to identify a source of funding for the office, but not that one.
Thank you very much, Judge. Tony?
Thank you, Representative Butler, member of the committee. But for the record, I am Commissioner Tony Hyde, representing the Association of Oregon Counties as their current president. I really, Mike left little unsaid as to where we stand with regards to Community Solutions Team. I would only say again that Community Solutions Team, for the most part, has been very successful throughout the state of Oregon, working with local governments in our regard, and really kind of collaborating all of the state agencies and focusing on local issues in terms of economic development, and very important to us. We still think that Community Solutions Teams are much in their infancy and have a real opportunity in the future. But again, we draw the line in terms of the deal that we cut with the 2.5%.
Tony, both you and Judge MacArthur represent somewhat rural counties. Can you give me some flavor of the use of the 2.5% dedicated lottery resource back to the counties versus the utilization of this we've got the amount down now to 1.4 million from 1.7. But can you just give me some flavor of that as it may relate to the rural and regional investment fund, the withdrawal of those funds from there?
Chair Butler, I can. The 2.5%, for the most part, and I want to say for the most part, because there are a few counties that have different ideas about how to spend that, but for the most part, most counties are very dedicated in using that 2.5% specifically targeted for economic development issues. I know that's the case in my county, and I know that's the case in Judge MacArthur's county as well. With regards to the regional rural strategies, we've always said that we wanted to target that for job creation and retention of existing jobs and expansion of businesses. we think that funding Community Solutions Team out of that is exactly what we've identified in the first place, and so that it is a proper way to spend that money.
Thank you very much.
Chair Bradley. Specifically, the 2.5% built into Sherman County's budget funds the position, the local position, called Community Development Officer, a portion of that position. That's been the use of those funds as long as we've had them. If it wasn't for those funds, we wouldn't be able to create the position. So that's the local piece of the mechanism of the infrastructure for economic development that we're able to fund with those 2.5% monies. And there's been a slow but steady growth in those, as the lottery has shown slow but steady growth. And that's allowed us to help keep up with the inflation factors of health insurance and PERS for that position.
Judge, can you kind of tell us how much the merit and COLA pay increase is for that position in your county this year?
Well, Sherman County, we've not been able to give COLAs for some years, given the financial condition of the county. We're doing our best to keep up with health insurance and PERS costs.
All right, thank you very much. Representative Patrick?
I just had a question. Dallas, did we get on the Community Solutions Teams kind of a breakout of what percentage of time they're spending by agency?
Yes. Well, I don't have this role. This is some information we got from agencies. Yes. When it was originally set up, if I may, there were actually people loaned from different agencies to the governor's office, and they were housed with the other community solutions people. During the special sessions, those were moved back and taken out, so that right now the community solutions office in the governor's office really those seven people.
I guess that's not my question. I understand this particular piece, but we'd ask for what kind of time they're spending. Like as a lawyer, as a general counsel for various companies, I keep my time in terms of how much time I spend working predominantly with each of my companies. So we have like billable hours, like any service provider would provide. I'm interested in what the hour breakout is of potentially these seven staff people in terms of the time that they're spending trying to negotiate with these various agencies.
Are they spending most time with DEQ, most time with wetlands, most time with?
Yeah, let's have Chris Warner, the director of the Community Solutions Team, give us a feel for that. Chris, the co-chairs yesterday did quiz us pretty thoroughly as we worked to hammer out some of the issues here, and they did want to know, and I don't know whether that rests then in Senate Bill 467 for the accountability, but they wanted the. And I assume that it's going to go to 467 because they wanted the performance measures. They wanted some report back to the emergency board.
Oh, Mr. Chair, before Chris enters, the budget report will note the co-chairs and the subcommittees concern about this, and the office will be expected to report to the audit committee during the interim prior to this. It's drafted now, and we've not had, and we are in agreement with the governor's office on this by September of next year with its performance measures and with a report on activities and how it measures up. I don't know that that has the allocation of hours in it, but at least that it's the budget report will reflect that, and the audit committee will be.
I guess before Chris, it would be my expectation that we would be able to get that information as to how much time they're spending with the agency,
yeah,
and what the major issues they're spending with the agency, so that we could maybe correct some of those problems.
I think specifically the issues and where the time is. One of the questions the co-chairs had yesterday was, why do we need seven positions statewide? How are they allocated? What are they spending their time doing specifically? What agencies are building the walls high enough that you've got to have other agencies, the Community Solutions Team folks, come and help people to pole vault over those walls? Chris?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Chris Warner, Director of the Community Solutions Office. Hopefully you can hear this. In terms of Representative Patridge, when he had mentioned that originally, I had look into the future in terms of, because in six months, I don't think we've actually done the billable hours thing that you've talked about. That's certainly something that we're willing to look at. I can tell you, since probably about February with the Governor's Industrial Lands Initiative, we've been spending a bulk of our time working on that, working with the different agencies, working with local governments, all of the different departments on identifying and beginning the certification process as spelled out in the executive order for dealing with industrial lands. So we spend much of our time on that. We spend a lot of time on the transportation package work in DEQ. Certainly some of the members like the Housing Community Services, we've been spending, you know, not very much time dealing with the issues concerning that. Department of Ag, we've had littler interface with that. We have had some in dealing with industrial lands, and we're doing some work on the UGB issue in terms of how that interfaces with industrial lands, but mostly transportation, Department of Environmental Quality.
Mr. Chair, I kind of look at this kind of as akin to what we do in the Attorney General's budget or the DAS budget. I mean, frankly, I'd almost like to see a model that says if the Community Solutions Team has to come in and talk to the agencies, that the agencies have to get charged for the particular cost of dealing with their particular agency. And they're dinged with that bill. They can't work it out with the local people, and they can't work it out, and you provide some level of general fund support. But, I mean, that's what I'm trying to get to. Are they spending 30% of their time of the seven people, 30% of their time dealing with the ODOT issues? So 30% of their budgets would come from other funds from ODOT, in my opinion. You know, are they spending 10% of their time with DEQ? Then DEQ should do it. But, you know, the state should bear some cost, I think, overall for the facilitation of this kind of stuff, if that's what's required, you know.
Much like gas IR&D does to charge for the, you know, upkeep of your computers. If your computers take X amount of time to, and your department could go ahead and be serviced and to be updated and have updates on your programs, then you get a bill for that amount. That may not be a bad idea. Representative Johnson?
Mr. Chair, just a process question. Are you going to count DAS and IRMD as two acronyms, or because you hyphenated
DAS IRMD is one acronym.
Thank you. It was just a process.
I thought I bought that for sure. Okay. Representative Johnson, you're still the keeper of the kitty, aren't you?
I am, sir.
You get in. All right.
Anything further, Representative Johnson?
Yes, on a serious. I think that the data that my good colleague Representative Patridge is asking for is very reasonable. It may be somewhat difficult to do in that I have noticed that some of the efficacy of the Community Solutions Team is brokering relationships. And I don't know how necessarily you measure that if you're trying to recruit a company and you've got issues between, let's say, a county, a port, a city, a local economic development district, working through the specifics of are you going to put a light on a major highway. You'll have to figure out some mechanism to keep that time, but not unlike how a lawyer bills time. I think it would be terribly instructive to know it. Given the lateness of the session, I'm not sure that holding the budget up waiting for that information is appropriate right now. We're on the 26th of June. But I think indicating somehow in the budget that keeping records at that level of detail would be instructive both to the body here and certainly to our county colleagues, so that they would really be able to have a picture emerge of the services conferred on them by the CST.
I think there's a certain amount of hand-holding that the Community Solutions Team folks are actually doing for local governments, which we very much appreciate. Again, as Representative Johnson indicated previously, bringing the imprimatur of the governor's office to our local community. That's important in rural Oregon. And I think we heard yesterday from Representative Winters that it's important for Marion County as well. So I think there's a portion of that that is overhead. But that portion, which deals with the resolution of problems that must be resolved by the Community Solutions Team to overcome a hurdle that we've got. And of course, when you build the agency for it, they're going to say, hey, wait a minute. That really wasn't our hurdle. That was something that was perceived to be a hurdle. If they would have worked harder locally to have overcome that, you know, we could have shown them after two more years that they could have brought that plant to Baker County or to Union County if it had just worked a lot harder at overcoming some of our internal rules and issues. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The one other thing that remains vague in my mind, and I haven't had the benefit of sitting through any of the hearings on Senate Bill 467, which may be thoroughly instructive on this point, but absent that information, when I got the original cut list, as I think our other colleagues on the committee did, looking at the sites that potentially could rise to the level of the 25 certified sites, one notices particular patterns in the description. What jumped out at me immediately was wetlands. That begs the question then about exactly what will the role of the Community Solutions Team be? For example, and I'm just going to pick a site at random, in Gresham, the Columbia Gorge Corporation Center has water, sewer, gas, master plan. Well, that was a bad one. It's ready to go. Here's one. Additional 14 acres zoned commercial available immediately with utilities and streets planned but not in place. What will the role of the CST be? And the distinction that I'm trying to draw is the CST ostensibly working with local government going to be the developers of these sites, or is the plan for the CST to facilitate the agency coordination and then get out of the way so that private business can come in? To what degree, Chris, do you envision you guys becoming developers as you're working through permitting with these sites versus just facilitating ease of operation for private business?
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, it is our intent to actually work with the local governments and work with the local entities to get them to a level where they and the Economic Development Department at that point will be the marketers of the property. We are trying to be the facilitators in terms of identifying barriers to development of that property. We're not in the business of marketing the property or developing it. We are simply making sure that the local government, the local developers, have a sense, a good sense of what the state, what the barriers are for the state, so we can identify those so they can move on and develop that property to its fullest and best use.
Follow up, Mr. Chair?
Please follow up.
So if you're involved in one that says, say, for example, has a UGB problem, your role is to identify the existence of the UGB barrier, not, I see a buck coming up here pretty fast.
Representative Johnson, CST was the first buck.
Thank you, sir. You will identify the existing barrier, but not necessarily be at the hearings to see the conclusion or giving guidance to the counties to see the. You are problem identifiers in this regard, not necessarily problem solvers.
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, that's true. Unless if it's an issue that comes forward to the Regional Community Solutions Team and they, intend to take that on, but I don't anticipate that on most of these. I think it's mostly we will identify the problems, work with the local governments. If they do have a problem with any of the state agencies, we will help them work through that. But there's still a lot of amendments going on with 467 in terms of the 25 sites. And where we're going
just to clean this up, I think that this brings us back to the point of tracking your time on these. Whether or not you're helping to build the list or you're actually working with local government to, say, get a wetlands issue resolved, there ought to be a pretty clear way to track that time, and I think that will be a useful tool in the next budget cycle.
Thank you. And I think you did touch on something in the discussion, Representative Johnson, with Mr. Warner, and that is that for some of our small counties, some of it is, I think Chris said, is part of the startup, and I don't know that again, that's probably part of the overhead. I don't know that that's probably something that we can really charge anyone for. It's just that maybe in Columbia County we don't have enough of this particular type of industry, industrial opportunity to have all of the expertise and all of the moxie to put those things together. So let me go ahead. We're going to go ahead and open a full work session on House Bill 5023. Representative Johnson, or Representative Patridge.
Sure. I just want to clarify what Dallas said in regard. There is going to be a budget note in regard to them reporting back to the Legislative Audit Committee in regard to what they're doing. My concern is the question that I asked today and have asked on several occasions during the course of the committee hearing
We asked them for 4 years ago, and they said they would track these things and keep us informed and all that. To date, we have still not received any of the information and still not received any substantive recommendations from the community solutions teams as to what needs to be changed within rural or state law to effectuate better communication among the agencies.
Dallas?
So I just want to make sure that they're coming back. I don't want it to be, and I want a clear commitment that that Community Solutions is going to come back with the detailed information that this committee is requesting.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I would not recommend a budget no with respect to the governor's office. However, we have agreement with them that the budget report will contain this discussion where we will expand it. I've got a draft of some language in my recommendation. I think we should expand that to include the about where the time is being spent to identify agencies that may be more problematic than others. But yes, that they will report to the audit committee, come forward with a report with their performance measures and activities. We will. So I would not recommend a budget note, but I would recommend it be included in the budget report itself. And we've had commitment from the agency and from the governor's office that that's not a problem, and they will come back with that. And it is identified with the audit committee. What we provided was the timeline of September of next year. That's not trying to repeat, but and have some concrete examples now of where time is being spent, what things, you know, here are the measurements that we are developed and have been reviewed and approved, and here's what we are doing against that and how we are operating.
Okay. Okay.
Does that satisfy?
Not really, but I, like I said, I don't have much choice.
Dallas, your final recommendation relative to the governor's, the office of the governor, can you summarize for us?
Certainly. In summary, we're recommending a general fund budget of $7,893,954, lottery funds of $1,398,068, and other funds limitation of $1,250,745. This includes funds 45 positions or 44.5 FTE. And that is my recommendation.
Thank you very much. Are there questions relative to that? Representative Johnson now moves the recommendation of the Legislative Fiscal Office. Are there any objections? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered. And Representative Johnson now moves House Bill 5023, Office of the Governor, to the full committee as amended with a due pass recommendation. Are there any objections? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered. Representative Johnson, would you like to carry that in?
Absolutely.
Full and on the House?
Sure.
Okay. And on the Senator Winters, would you please carry that in the Senate?
Yes, I will.
Thank you very much. With that, we will close the hearing on House Bill 5023. Thanking you all for your input. Thank you, Chris.
Mr. Chair, now that we're off the record, this is the last budget, formal budget I have with this committee. I owe you for some acronyms. I told you I'd pay up at the end. I called you last night.
Thank you, Dale.
Sorry, I was late. I was late.